This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Driver, three wood, sand wedge. Where's my putter?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for August 18, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. We are your podcast tabloid for the geek world. I'm going to start using that as a tagline because I think that is the shortest, succinctest description you can give. And it sums up why we do what we do and no one else does. There's really a reason for that. If you're a first-time listener to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Inebriated.
Oh, that's a good way to end the weekend.
Actually, it's been my weekend.
In case you don't know, we record this on Sunday night, and that's not to say Craig is inebriated on a Wednesday morning when you're listening to this. So they
yes,
do come
it
out
is.
On, you're going to start sounding like Jeff on Chuck.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
This is the best time I have all week. You're catching me conscious.
You're catching me conscious.
Julie's caught a few of those episodes too. With me is my daughter, Julie, working the video feed. How are you, Julie?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for asking. Before we move on too much further, we want to remind you that this show is brought to you by GoToAssist Express, the terrific remote diagnostic package that lets you solve other people's technical issues fast and easy.
Even if you don't know how to fix them.
That's right. You just move your cursor around and say, you click on this and show some pictures.
Like,
and
it's like Harry Potter waving his wand around. You know,
empty the trash.
Technicus. Yeah. Fix this. And voila.
Expelliarmus. No, what's the Cruciatus curse brings up the blue screen of death.
Technus geekus.
There's too many acronyms to be worthwhile in Harry Potter. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, getting back to GoToAssist Express, it's better than magic.
It's better than Harry Potter.
You don't need the weird glasses or the lightning scar to fix people's things. You can fix them. Wow. I'm trying to figure out how to bring this back on the rails.
Just start talking about
try it free for 30 days. You've heard us talk about this. Again, if you're a first-time listener, it's a terrific tool. See what's on somebody else's screen. Share files. IM, one-touch diagnostics. It's terrific. I do this all the time with customers and clients, and you too can be a hero to them by getting their technical issues fixed quickly and fast. And try it free for 30 days. Find out what all the fuss is about. Why do we keep saying this every week? Because it is as good as we say it is. Mm-hmm. Try it free for 30 days. Go to assist.com/techpodcast. That's go to assist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial.
And go from zero to hero.
That's right. We've said that like a million times too, but sooner or later, if you haven't done so already, try it.
If I keep saying it, one day I'll believe it.
Coming up in this episode, we have the real reasons why someone would become an engineer, why we don't see too many cyberpunk comics, and if you're going to make a black market DVD, at least get your ships right. All that more coming right up.
Hey, you bums.
Do you like trivia, fun facts, music, and sound effects in under 10 minutes?
No, but I do.
Mostly Trivial.
For over 5 years.
With your host,
Johnny B.
Get Mostly Trivial.
Okay. In the iTunes App Store.
Mostly Trivial.
It's a great way to support our show.
K
Kilroy 2.0 is here. Kilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Kilroy 2.0 commands that you listen to Technorama. Do you comply?
All right, word from the chat room is that things are a little loud, so we backed them off just a touch. Should be better.
Well, we were all thinking it.
That things were too loud?
Yeah.
Speaking of the chat room, we have a live chat room going every Sunday night. If you happen to be around at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, most weeks. This was an exception because I was running a little bit behind due to golf tournament, as hinted at by the media corner thing. I was helping out with the PGA tournament. I'm going to keep a long story short. It was a great time. I was on the transportation committee, volunteered. If you're watching the live stream, that explains the hat emblazoned with logo and shirt and whatnot. So,
this is the first time you've done that?
That was the first time I've done that, but I was at the 2004 PGA tournament. See, they moved the PGA around, and it was in Kohler, Wisconsin, about an hour and a half away. And as part of the transportation committee, I had the opportunity, not the guarantee, to possibly shuttle somebody famous. Well, most of our time was spent moving vehicles from airport to holding cell and holding cell to transportation headquarters and back and forth. So,
haven't you learned if it sounds too good to be true?
No, there's still an opportunity. Nick Watney was in the lead by 3 strokes on Saturday afternoon when he finished up and was in the final pairing. And Sunday morning, I was able to shuttle his parents from the hotel to. Hey, so I had a nice conversation with his parents and his sister.
Well, I did live near Farrah Fawcett's parents when I lived in Texas.
Did you talk to him?
Not really.
Okay. So, PGA is coming back in 2015. To Whistling Straits in Kohler, Wisconsin.
Beautiful I love the area. Names up there.
I'm going to be there. It's about an hour north of Milwaukee, right in Lake Michigan.
I just love the names up there. You got Indian stuff, and then you got like
Kohler?
Whistling Straits. What?
That's German. Long story. We don't have time for today, but chat room. We were getting to the chat room. This is where this all went. Pear shaped. Yeah, we have AD Scott Pilgrim, Ben Vaughn, Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer, Dragon Con. I want to know who's logging with Dragon Con.
We're probably on one of the big screens. You know, just it's collective.
We'll be on Dragon Con TV. Wouldn't that rock?
It would.
That would be fun. Kick WSM, Mad Marv. did WSM get kicked from the chat room?
I think you're referring to movies here.
Nightstar, Super Tim, Test Mad, The Giant, and Victor. Hey. Oh. Theme comic book movies.
Well, hey, Victor's a comic book hero.
Right. When we figure out what his superpower is.
He is known as the Cuban.
He is Mac-Man.
He's Mac-Man.
Yeah, his logo on his chest is the Mac smiley face.
Rips his shirt open. There it is.
Stand back. I can fix that. Here's a quick tip. Use command B.
Wait, citizen, here is a tip.
If you want to be part of this craziness, watch the video feed and chat with the people in the chat room and maybe be made a moniker or a martyr or something. Join us on Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern time. We'd love to see you there. Otherwise, you can catch it on the video and podcast and everything else at chuckchat.com/technorama. We also
one
have a wiki
site to rule them all.
We have a wiki that's at chuckchat.com/wiki that contains birthdays. We love every one of our listeners, and we love to wish them a happy birthday when the time comes. August 18th is Matt Ryder, who's the Eagle Scout geek. Jedi Kez, aka Brian from Winnipeg, is on August 20th. Zoidberg, 1967, on the 22nd. And also on the 22nd, Kyle Slingo. Wish you a happy birthday. If it's your birthday, and we didn't happen to mention your name, all the best to you. We wish you a happy birthday. And many, many more. Get your name on the birthday calendar, as I mentioned, at chuckchat.com/wiki. We'll call it out. We love to see you there. It's time for the news, Julie. Shh.
Good news, nobodies.
First thing I found this week, I was thumbing through the Wall Street Journal, and Julie's got a picture for us on the video feed. If you can't see this, you have to take a look at the video. But there was an article about Chechen rebels and how things are going all wonky in Russia and whatnot. And these guys, they look more like Wisconsin deer hunters to me.
They look normal.
All right. Do you see that picture, Craig?
I do not. Let me see.
Pull up the feed.
All right, I'm pulling it up.
It was in the Dropbox area for this week, but you might have missed that.
Oh, I may have missed it. Okay. That's why I was wondering what.
And due to the scanning process, this thing looks like it came out of a 1929 faded newspaper. But this is from one of last week's Wall Street Journals. You can verify this if you like. And it's got these three guys standing there. And at first I was joking about, you know, how they look like Wisconsin deer hunters because there's snow on the ground and whatnot. And then it jumped out at me. There's something about that picture.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't get it up.
Stupid. That represents Technorama.
Oh, really?
Julie, would you like to tell them what I discovered?
There's three guys. The first one and the last one each have one finger up, like holding, like the number one.
Like yeah.
And the middle guy is folding his arms, like a zero.
And I went, 101? Wow. Maybe these Chechen rebels are listening to Technorama, and this is the only way they can get their message to us. But hey, a 101 to you guys, too.
Yeah.
From Russia with love. In real news, not that the Chechen rebels aren't real, but that 101. Just find them where you find them. They pop up all over the place. I'm putting that in the archive of strange and weird pictures.
Maybe they were trying to, sneak out a message.
We send binary high five to you, comrade.
They will understand.
We understand, and we're just going to give the sign to you. Scientists have discovered the oldest piece of the Earth's mantle ever discovered, which I think is just amazing.
Wow.
Except that I don't have the link up here. What happened?
Earth formed 4.54 billion years. That's pretty precise.
More or less. Now, I thought this was interesting because I thought it'd be more interesting to find the oldest piece of the crust. I'm not sure what the mantle part is all about, but as you were saying, Earth formed 4.54 billion years, 2 weeks, and 3 days, 4 hours ago.
And seconds.
More or less. But we never found any rocks remaining from the time our planet formed. Until now, a piece of ancient mantle is revealing Earth's oldest secrets. The mantle is the rocky solid layer between the Earth's crust and its outer core. Now, I've heard the analogy to the crust of the Earth is as thick. If the Earth was the scale of a basketball, which I'm sorry if you're not a U.S. person, but a basketball is.
That's
let me put this into meters. Maybe 25, 30, 35 centimeters across. We'll go with that.
Okay.
And the thickness of the crust to a basketball is like a postage stamp on that basketball. That's how thin the Earth's crust is. Well, the mantle is just underneath that. Okay? I know we have a lot of technically savvy listeners, but just wanted to remind you. It's by far the biggest part of the Earth, accounting for a whopping 84% of its volume. The mantle isn't a uniform layer. It's got countless pockets and reservoirs, each with their own unique chemical composition, and each dating back to a different period in Earth's ancient history. Geologists have hypothesized that primordial Earth, along with other planets, shared the same basic chemistry as chondrites, which are the oldest and most common meteors in the solar system.
Hmm.
There are many different varieties of chondrites, but they all have chemical compositions that closely resemble that of the sun, which I thought was just hydrogen and helium and stuff. But this has given rise to a so-called chondritic model, which predicts that sufficiently ancient piece of the Earth's mantle should have a sun-like ratio of helium, lead, and neodymium isotopes.
Is that in the Matrix?
No, that was from Finding Nemo.
Neodymium. Sorry.
He lives in an anemone.
Yeah, anemone.
So anyway, geologists have studied the lava samples and confirmed the pieces had exactly the right ratios of helium, lead, and neodymium.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's been a really long weekend.
Apparently.
Placing the formation of the original rocks anywhere between 4.55 and 4.45 billion years ago, plus or minus 12 hours. Considering the older side, we have really good tests.
Yeah. So carbon dating gets really specific.
They found some of this stuff in the earth, and I found it fascinating that some of the stuff is actually still around, and they have ways of testing it. Of course, it's all based on theory, and you know what theory means? It can be disproven.
Well, see how this relates to your golfing outing this week. In the neodymium, that's what they made the golf clubs out of, right?
Yeah, that would be a good brand name, wouldn't it?
Apparently the word was taken 4.54 billion years ago. So
okay, let's move on to the hacks.
Trademark's already. Okay.
Hacks and strange stories. You're supposed to have the graphic up, Julie.
I know.
Just lay off, man.
All right, let her go at her own pace.
She'll get it up there when we're done.
We're good to have the help.
Yes.
All right. Maslow, you know, Maslow had the hierarchy of needs where you have your basic needs and your physical needs and your mm-hmm. self-actualization and whatnot. Well, apparently, there's also somebody came up with Maslow's hierarchy of robot needs. Yeah. At the bottom are robots' physical needs. Eat robot food. Okay, it's this triangle shape. So you have to picture this with me if you're not watching the video.
Would that include like beer and stuff?
Sure, if it's a Bender robot.
Yeah.
The next layer up, which builds on eat robot food, because if you don't have eat robot food, you're going to die, is safety. And safety for a robot is use antivirus software. The next layer up from that is the belonging layer, which is vacuum living room. So it must be a Roomba. One level up from that, and second from the top, or the penultimate layer, is the self-esteem, which has become self-aware, because if your robot isn't self-aware, you can't have any self-esteem. And finally is the self-actualization layer at the top, which is destroy humans.
You know what? This doesn't sound like needs. It sounds more like the evolutionary scale of robots.
No, this is needs. You have eat your robot food.
This is like evolutionary scale, because you go from eating to vacuuming. Oh, then it becomes self-aware, and now I want to destroy humans. See?
It can be used for defense, too. If we take away all the robot food, they can't destroy humans.
Good thinking.
If we don't
I want Julie on my side when the robots turn on us.
All right, next up in the Hacks and Strange Stories, I don't know why this struck me funny, but this came across from graphjam.com this last week. This is the naming scheme with a fairy tale solar system, the geek solar system. That's what it is. And Julie's going to have to do some scrolling on the video.
I'm looking at the Superman.
Oh, did I skip one? Did I skip one?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the really funny one.
Oh, I was... Holy cow, how did I get down to the geek library? Okay, back up then. Where are we? We're still in the Hacks and Stray Stories, right?
Yes. Over at
IO9. Over at IO9, Kaiju and Superman enforce common courtesy in surreal Tokyo subway ads.
This is the best.
These are just... Now, some of them I can figure out. But Julie and I have this thing with signs like this that at first appear obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were on the amusement park rides, they have this series of icons, and one is clearly, you know, no riding while you're pregnant. Well, the pregnant icon is this lady with, you know, a small baby in her stomach. And we changed that. Since there are no words, we have to interpret this in whatever foreign language we want. And we change it over to no eating small babies. Okay, you get the idea here. So we've got these Tokyo subway posters, which are supposed to say things like no lying down on the seat, but they're using monsters and things. So there's no
like
putting
Godzilla thing.
Yeah, no putting your dragon on the seat. Don't cross legs next to a monster.
Actually, it looks like he's passing gas. He's got his leg kind of hiked up.
So... That takes care of the Transformer one. We've got Superman, whose shoe has apparently melted, or her boot melted to the floor.
He must have looked at it too hard with his heat vision.
Then we flip over to the next picture, and it's got
four-armed green man reading newspaper.
Yeah, I believe it's don't be rude and read your newspaper on the subway, but I'm really not sure what the message is in this one. And Julie's favorite, number four. You can tell it just makes her
number
laugh.
Number four.
It's just Santa with a drink in his hand.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how this enforces common courtesy.
That's funny. I don't know. Share your drink? I don't know. Well, it made her laugh. I said,
she can't stop now.
This is why Santa's so jolly and his nose is red.
That's right.
And then the last one has Superman inside the subway and a lady with her purse apparently
subway train.
Jammed in the subway train door. But there's this mysterious shadowy figure in the foreground.
Yeah, well, even besides that, I'm trying to figure out the guy that's right beside her. Is he trying to help her, or is he trying to push her out?
And if anybody knows what shimata means, which I hope I didn't swear in Japanese.
Yeah. I think that's what they said when they heard saw Godzilla. Shimata!
We're not sure what's going on in those, but hey, that was fun. And finally up in our Hacks and Strange Stories, while I was at the PGA last Wednesday during the pregame, we were allowed to take our cameras in and get signatures from the players before they started official play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I spotted something that reminded me of last week's segment on thereifixedit.com.
Yes.
And I found my own, because this very expensive television camera, the man wanted a sunshade so he could see the monitor inside the camera.
Right.
So he built himself a little sunshade out of two key ingredients that I think everybody could guess. Cardboard and duct tape.
Oh.
And nice. He was even adding duct tape to it. I've got another picture where he's duct taping this thing up.
Oh, I see. He made like a viewer type thing.
Yeah, a box to keep the sun out. So
yeah,
he could
like,
stick his
like
head
they
in
use
it.
In the NFL or something.
The
when
instant replay booth. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was on the number 7 green. Or, no, I'm sorry, 17 green.
Hmm.
And I looked up there and I went, wow, thousands and thousands of dollars in a corporate
a cardboard box.
The things you don't see on CBS.
Yeah.
You get this cardboard and duct tape.
That's where we come in.
That's exactly where we come in.
Ripping the scab of tech
news. That is bullseye. This is great stuff. Keep your eyes open for this kind of thing. If you see it, send it to us. So that was my There I Fixed It moment at the Professional Golf Association Tournament of the Year. That's Glory's funny. Last Stand, as they tagline that tournament, because it's the last major of the season. Oh, that brings us to Remember When.
When?
We are having a grand
old time.
I know
when.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Remember when we had to cool our beer with ice?
Wait a minute, what do we cool it with now?
The fridge?
Make Magazine asked, what do most engineers want? This is an ad from the 50s from RCA. I think this was in your Google Reader feed.
Oh, it may be.
What means most to an engineer? From 1950. And they've got these nice, you know, black and white, gray, sketchy drawing things. Professional recognition. And there's apparently a boss or a client shaking hands. Good salary. Stacks of money.
Ching.
I'm going to, okay, we'll do this in order. Unexcelled facilities. And the guy is apparently working on some kind of equipment that has a CRT and,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the best equipment, of course.
It looks like stuff we saw in the Computer History Museum.
No, exactly.
In very rough sketch form.
Doesn't it?
Minus any OSHA compliance. This thing looks like he could seriously get hurt.
People thinking.
And he's working on it with a suit and tie, so you figure it out. Yeah. And the last panel is suburban living, and he's being attacked by his wife and kids in his easy chair.
Attacked.
I'm telling you, we interpret these pictures differently than most people.
He can have him arrested for assault.
Don't shake the baby.
Don't eat the baby.
Don't eat the baby. Oh. Also, to remember when we've got how Star Trek prop computers presaged the iPad by 20 or more years. This is a look back. Designers of Star Trek created flat, minimalist computers in order to save money. In fact, when they named the iPad, that's the first thing I thought is maybe it had two D's because the pad in Star Trek has
wouldn't
two
that be
D's.
Cool? That would no, that's just too cool. They wouldn't do that.
I thought it should have. That would have been a better trademark. But maybe Paramount already has rights to that or something.
Wait, I don't know. But anyway, if you read through, it makes a lot, you know. How many things have we gotten from Star Trek already?
Hey, we got Uhura's earbud for Bluetooth communications, right?
We communicators.
Got the communicators for the flip phones. We've got the pads from more like Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we don't have viewing monitors like Spock, and we had to stand up. We'd all be crooked back people.
Did we start talking about that on the show? I'm trying to remember.
I think we did. I know I saw that go by in the feed, and I couldn't remember if we talked about...
It was like a Uhura sitting down, and he's...
A public service announcement, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, all we need now is a tribble and a transporter.
A tribble! Transporters and faster-than-light travel.
What's a tribble?
No!
I think she does know. It's those soft, furry little creatures that coo...
That's not a technology.
Snap on Craig.
Well, fine. Fine, man.
You can't invent tribbles.
No, but we can multiply them.
That's why I love Julie.
Mm-hmm. She's not on my robot team anymore.
I was just going to say, what happened to your team member?
Yeah. Forget it now. Hey, you know what? You know, Uhura's pad, you know, she's got her hand on the writing stuff, you know, whatever's written on it.
Oh, we went anti-stylist, didn't we?
Hey, look at that, though. Wait a minute. Look at the stuff. You know what that looks like? I don't know the name of it, but that those pads that you would take in the car when you were a kid, you'd write on it and you go, and you pull it up and...
Oh, yeah. They had a kind of a grease backing and the wax.
Yeah,
it wasn't wax paper, though. It was a cellophane kind of thing.
No, I meant it had like a wax type on the cardboard. And when you write down it, you would stick and then you go.
The gray kind of Cellotex stuff. And as you pressed with the stylus, it would stick the Cellotex to the kind of black grease wax bay. Yeah.
That's what it looks like. And you know what else I thought I heard just recently? I think it was, I don't remember who came out with it, but they have the liquid pencil. Have you seen that?
Liquid? Oh, yeah, I did see that come by last week.
Yeah, well, you write down, you can erase like a pencil immediately. Within 3 days, it becomes permanent on the paper.
Robin850 has joined the chat room. Could that possibly be Swoopy? She's checking us out, making sure we're good enough for Dragon Con.
Yeah. Well, Dragon Con's in there.
Ooh. Hey.
Dragon Con's sitting right there. I see him.
Now I'm thoroughly confused. If that's not Swoopy, maybe that's... Anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Speaking of old and fun pictures, we've got to do more visuals like this at Dragon Con this year.
I love this old sci-fi art.
Astounding science fiction from June 1950. This is why there are no more cyberpunk comics. Because nobody could figure out, if you're glancing at this thing, the guy's got kind of this paper tape that's looks like musical notes going over his head. He's standing in front of what looks like a super-duper whack-a-mole game with a 10x10 grid. Either that or Battleship with no ships and no pegs. 10x10
whack-a-mole.
And he's suffering from a migraine or something. I can't interpret this one.
It's like he gave up. I got it. I've had enough.
I'll never be Herbie Hancock. What do you make of this, Julie?
He's like using punch cards to compose a musical score.
No, punch cards is in the next picture.
Oh yeah, that's.
It looks like James Bond crossed with Herman Hollerith's punch cards, because the people look like
picture?
They got holes in them. The ones to the left.
The ones to the left.
There's two pictures in here. There's Astounding Science Fiction and Amazing Fact and Science Fiction.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, the people with the punch holes in them.
He's fighting the punch cards. They're becoming the punch cards.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to back up my data.
There's a man and a woman on some kind of LED grid table thing, and they're full of holes.
Looks like a version of Kirk or something, because he's got the yellow shirt.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too. It's like, Flash Gordon, wow, I thought red shirt was bad.
Yeah. That's funny.
What? The caption of this article is, what in the 19 hells do you think they're saying in these pictures?
The Programmed People, a novel by Jack Sharkey.
These are just fun to look at. I'm sorry. This is great stuff.
You know, it'd be really cool, and somebody may have already done this, but taking some of these stories are old. You know, I wonder if they're still in copyright or something like that, but I wonder if you could take these old stories and turn them into an audio podcast.
You'd have to put a click wheel on the guy's chest or something these days.
I'm talking about the stories.
Oh, okay. I was going to do the artwork.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be kind of fun.
Robin850 in the chat room says, Kirk attacked by a number two pencil?
Yeah. It looks like it. It's like somebody took one of those tests on him. A Scantron test.
You fail, Mr. Bond.
Yeah.
And finally, in the Remember When section, we have from 1932, a true story of a robot who shot his creator.
Oh, my gosh.
True story.
Which is in violation of, you know.
Stop laughing, Julie. It's not funny.
Shot by the monster of his own creation, the two-ton robot suddenly developed a mind of its own and wounded the inventor who feared it would get him someday. This is a precursor to Skynet.
Yeah. Why does it always, if the robots become self-aware, they want to kill their creator? I want one that's just going to, oh, well, let's just be friends and hang out, you know, drink beer with a robot.
Can I make you coffee? Oh, I coffee, therefore I am.
I mean, why do they always want to kill?
It's just in their nature.
Man.
I think this is...
People are hating robots.
This is Bender's predecessor.
Yeah.
Because look...
Oh, looks like it too, doesn't it?
Take the image. Yeah, you could just put a bottle of lowbrow in that left hand and he'd be all set.
Actually, he kind of reminds me of Calculon a little more than Bender.
Does he have ears on the side there?
Here, I got
what's that?
Like huge ears.
Yeah. The better to hear you with, my dear. And those huge eyes.
The better to see you with.
Here we go.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
That was Calculon. One of my favorite lines.
What was the other one? I like the line where he says, "Oh crap, I can't remember." Forget it.
I don't remember when he said that.
Yeah. Oh, forget it.
Well, you're trying to remember that. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back with the Media Corner. Sound good?
Yes.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Did you remember something, Craig?
Yeah, it's when Calculon was talking to is in the show, and he's talking about marrying that one robot, and he says, I've been processing this for quite some time. Monique, will you marry me? Processing this.
Processing. We all have our moments.
Yeah, that's funny.
Before we get into the Media Corner, I want to remind you that the summer of podcasts continues. You must go to podcastmadness.com. And enter, do you remember our code word, Craig?
No, please.
Our August code word is winner.
Don't you? Winner.
winner.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm a winner.
Okay, go there and vote for us, and who knows, we might win something at Blogger and Podcast World Expo thingy that we're not going because we're going to Dragon Con and having more fun.
Yeah.
If I could afford both, I might consider it, but since I can't, I got to make my priorities, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay, moving on. This is your link. You take it. I didn't see it till the last minute. Gary Kurtz.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Kurtz, who was a producer on Empire Strikes Back, and I'm not mistaken, he was on Star Wars The New Hope as well. But he is actually going to be at the Star Wars celebration that's happening in Orlando.
Ooh.
I think it's happening now, or this week. Maybe this is last weekend. Anyway, so they had him in, and he is actually... he's the producer after Empire. He quit or was let go, or something changed between him and Lucas. They were actually built up the Empire Strikes Back, and so a lot of this is his influences, especially on a lot of the mysticism around the Jedi and the Force and all that kind of stuff, which makes sense, you know, that later on Lucas is explaining the midichlorians and all that, and it's like, you know,
okay,
he really had to do that. But he talks about how things progressed and how things kind of fell apart between him and Lucas. And it's actually quite interesting. And he was kind of surprised that they actually asked him to come to Star Wars Celebration because he has a dissenting view on how the way things turned out.
Nice.
I really like this article. And it kind of dovetails with what you may know about the behind the scenes kind of, you know, things that happen, you know, between as the movie progressed and the things that we know, you know, that's been made public. But anyway, there's some really cool stuff in here. I would suggest go read it. It's a good size article with a lot of details in there. So,
I like his Abraham Lincoln beard.
I know. Well, I went looking for what a picture of what he looked like today. What he looks like today, and he doesn't have that Lincoln beard or the Quaker look. That's what I was thinking of.
Did he round off like Lucas did?
No.
You know, George Lucas looks an awful lot like the that guy who runs the diner in...
Is it Attack of the Clones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to say anything. Something about that chin.
I know. It's kind of strange. I don't want to pick on him too much, but...
Yeah, he might come after us.
Yeah. But yeah, he also throws some water on the... everybody talked about how there was supposed to be 9 episodes. I'll let you read all of it. To kind of talk about that. But yeah.
All right, I got a real quick moment here that I saw come across in the news feed this past week.
What the chuck? What's up with that?
Apparently, there's a black market Battlestar DVD that came out and. When you look at this thing, it says Battlestar Galactica, seasons 1-4, and then there's some writing in what I would assume is, what do you think, Japanese? We'll go with that. I'm not too good at my character sets.
It may be, well, Japanese and Chinese, but for me it's a little confusing.
What do they have on the cover of this but the Enterprise D?
Like, I see it now.
You know, and you don't spot it at first. You go, wait a sec.
Wait, why is Patrick Stewart in looking like Colonel Ty? I'm kidding.
Wow, Tasha Yar came back as 6. Or is that 7 of 9 came back as 6? There was a budget cut.
Yeah, the budget cut. Oh, it's Korean. That's what
AD
dudes
say. I was going to say it looks kind of Korean because we do have some Korean signs around this area.
Mm-hmm.
But... like, seriously? Enterprise on the PSG? If you're going to make a pirated DVD, get your ships right. And I said ships.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's funny.
It's just too much. And you have a moment also? Would you like your stinger?
No. Don't make me angry.
Too late.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Well, I'm not really angry. Actually, I had a nice surprise. Due to some past events, I had this Foot Locker that actually my dad had when he was in the Army. He was in the service.
A shoe store?
Shoe store. It's a Foot Locker time machine, if you must know.
Ah.
Yeah, just kind of jump in it and you go through a portal. And no, so what happened was I was living beside one of my friends a while back, and I was moving out, and I couldn't make the last run for the day, so I put my footlocker over at his house so I could, mine would be clear, and I said I'll just come back and get it. Well, his dad ended up moving and put the footlocker up in his attic. Well, it's been there for a while, and I was over at their house this weekend, and it's like, you got that footlocker? And we got to talking, and sure enough, it's there. So I brought it home.
What's in it?
Dude, I have stuff in there from 1978.
Anything cool?
There are some cool things. One is a program I printed out from my Commodore 64 onto tractor feed paper.
So it's like, not a time machine, it's a time capsule.
Okay, you got
kind of like my blue blazer from 1982.
Well, let me tell you some of the. I'll run down some of the things in it. First, there's a lot of comic books in there, including the original Star Wars: A New Hope. It's a like a jumbo size comic book, you know, almost as long from like your elbow to your.
Did you remember to keep it in the protected sleeve?
No.
But major fail.
Have that, The Empire Strikes Back. I don't have Jedi because I don't think it was out yet when I put the stuff in here. But anyway, I got a variety of superhero comic books. And I also found Us magazine from 1978. And guess what's on the cover?
Of Us?
Yes, of Us magazine.
1978. R2-D2.
Close. It was Apollo and Starbuck and Adama. You know that.
Ooh,
pose.
Yeah.
You've probably seen them in a million times, you know, where they're standing there like they're shooting. So I kept that because it had the original Battlestar Galactica in there.
You got to scan some of these for us.
And I have two issues of Atari Age. You know, it was like upcoming titles for the Atari 2600 and things, you know, that's happening with Atari. Kind of a magazine type thing. What else was in there? Just a variety of little stuff. I've drawings. I have to tell you, I mean, it was a real nice surprise to be flipping through some of that stuff and going, wow, you know.
Fun.
And we lived in Texas for a while at the end of the 70s.
I didn't know that.
And we moved back, mm-hmm. You know, because Dad got a better job. Well, one of my friends had written me a letter in 1982, and it's actually in there, which it was kind of neat to read. You know,
he probably forgot all about that.
He probably did. Actually, I do have his email address, and I emailed him, and I said, I'm going to take a picture of it and let you see it. But but yeah, I got this letter. Your letter arrived, finally.
So, your email finally arrived.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, and there was a couple other things, like I have a blue notebook, not a Trapper Keeper, but a similar. I guess my parents couldn't afford the Trapper Keepers.
Yeah, I had a fake one too.
But in one of the folders inside was rules at our school, in our high school. And one of them was, it said, the school district does not condone smoking, but smoking can be done behind the school in the smoking area.
Sweet. Like, yeah. Keep that. You have proof. Give it to your kid. Yeah. Here, Harrison.
I'm going to go over there and just, I'm just going to hang out. You know, 40-something, now they're smoking at the school.
Yeah. Hey, I got the sign. Says it's for real. We got one more thing before we close out. AD dude from the chat room sent us this link. I'm going to let Julie do this one. It's
okay.
A very interesting rendition of the solar system, the geek solar system.
Okay.
So what's at the center of the solar system, Julie?
Well, first there's this. Okay. There's the sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus.
Sounds sane so far.
On Earth, there's Button Moon and Asteroid M. Mars has 8-bit Moon.
8-bit Moon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a square.
Apparently, they don't like Phobos and Deimos, but we'll go with that. Does it get worse?
In the far away region, there's Pluto, Thundera, Eternia.
Thundera? Isn't that where the Thundercats live?
That's what I was going to say, man. Quit stealing my lines.
Okay.
Eternia, Etheria, New Texas, Cybertron.
Wait, Eternia, Etheria, and New Texas? What? Did we change naming schemes? Is this like This is like Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows 2000, XP.
Why? I don't get this. What? Why are they doing... I don't quite get this.
Keep going.
Then Cybertron and Omicron Persei 8, and that is the animated grouping in the far away region.
Omicron Persei 8, that's where Lure...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's Krypton, and by the dashed line, you can see it was recently destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Vulcan should have recently been destroyed too, then.
Oh, yeah, it's way out on the end. There's Reach, Londinium, Hades.
Londinium, isn't that one of the periodic table elements?
Sounds like it. Then in the Scott Cameron belt, there's LV-426, Pandora, and Fury 161.
What is that region called?
The Scott Cameron belt.
Who's Scott Cameron?
James Cameron, Scott, was he a producer on...
Ridley Scott? No. Okay, and what's the furthest region called?
The far, far away region.
We'll skip to that. We'll go. What do you got? Sounds like where Shrek lives. What is in the far, far away region?
Tatooine and Alderaan.
And moon? Like Krypton.
Yeah, moon.
It's recently That's destroyed.
Alderaan is gone. It's just dotted line.
I see Zorg, Kobol, Vulcan. Hey, Vulcan.
Yeah, Vulcan should be gone now. We have
Ork,
to update.
There! There's where Mork's from.
See? We got them all covered for you. Thanks, AD dude.
Duck World. That's where Howard's from, isn't it? Melmac. Who's from Melmac, Chuck?
Oh.
Hello?
I know. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can see the image.
Starts with an A.
Elf.
Thanks, AD dude, in the chat room.
I said it before I saw it. I get okay. credit on that one.
Yeah.
All right. We want to remind you that we will be at Dragon Con Labor Day weekend. This is probably one of the last reminders you're going to get if you haven't made your plans already. It's likely too late, but hey, you got
Unless you live in the Atlanta area.
That's true. Well, and there aren't many podcasts left to come out between now and then for us anyway. Hey,
you're traveling in from Melmac...
Be sure to stop at Dragon Con and meet your friends and some of your enemies. We'd love to see you there. We're going to be doing a show Friday night at the Hilton Room 204. The Hilton. I've been saying it so many times I had to stop and think. Was that right? That is correct. Also, we wanted to put out a little plea. Many of you know Stormtrooper TD0013 from his different point of view segments on Slice of Sci-Fi he used to do years ago. And he has a podcast called A Different Point of View. And he's asking for some help, just small donations. He's got a 2-year-old cat that is in need of help. And you can find a link in the show notes. I'm going to try and pronounce this so you can... I'll just spell it. It's R-Y-O-K-O. needshelp.wordpress.com. I think it's ryokoneedshelp.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat is very, very sick, needs some surgery, and he's just asking for a couple of bucks donation from a few listeners. It would be greatly appreciated. I've got
and owning a cat, that's expensive, especially when they get sick. Or
now who's stealing whose lines?
Hey, well, I've got several, and I got the scars to prove it in my wallet.
Okay. Wow, didn't see that stinger coming.
Yeah.
But if you can help, we appreciate it. We're not asking on behalf of Technorama. We're asking on behalf of a friend who's just podcasting is all about the community. This is just one way to show you can help. So
that's right.
Whether we appreciate you helping him out, we appreciate you helping us out.
Not to make light of his cat situation, but I did save a turtle today.
You did?
Yeah.
I avoided a rabbit.
Well, the car in front of me swerved, and I went, what are they doing? Oh, there's a turtle there. So I swerved, too, and I immediately pulled over. And at first, I took a picture of him with my cell phone camera, and then I picked him up and moved him.
Sounds like what almost happened to us with an orange barrel.
Swerved. Orange barrel?
Yeah, orange barrel was out in the middle of traffic. How it got there, I don't know.
Did you carefully lift it and help it over to the other
side of
the
street? No, we were moving
at
like 40 miles an hour. We had to swerve to miss it.
No. But you're going to help it survive.
Let's wrap up this overdue show.
All right.
Call the listener line 206-222-CHAT as in Chuck Chat. That's 2428. 206-222-2428. It's been too long since we've heard from you. We want to know your comments. Save a cat. Something. You can also reach
us with your cat stories.
Email us.
Your funny tech cat stories.
Technorama at chuckchat.com. If your cat looks like Hitler, go to catsthatlooklikehitler.com. Follow us on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. You know all this stuff. It's been on the show forever and ever. Just give us your good news. Show us, send us your links like AD Dude did and the Geek Solar System. Review on iTunes. I don't think we've seen one of those in a while. We'd love to see them there again. You know, I recently updated the Technorama Media Kit, and I took some quotes from there because they're so good. Thank you very much to people who have donated that in the past. We love...
Hope their opinions haven't changed.
Each and every one of you. Special thanks to Mad Marv for providing the great blog content during the week. Watch the Twitter stream for other things that come across that fancy us. You know, you can even follow us on the Google Reader. I just, like, share stuff immensely there. Great social network. Thanks to Ustream for keeping our modest live streams going on Sunday night and also archiving all this stuff so you can watch it later if you don't happen to be around on Sunday. Oh, the sadness of the situation. We want to see you there. But if you can't, you can always catch it on our website. Thank you, Ustream, and thinstack.net for providing the chat room that comes along. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Also, affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. You gotta go check them out. There's a ton of them. Have you had fun, Julie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
No, I didn't have any fun. Nah, 101.
You people are as loud as you are ignorant. Now get back on your turnip trucks and go home.